Most High, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for keeping me in sound body and mind. I ask you to forgive me for all my indiscretions, all that I have done and all that I will do. I ask you to open me up, use me as your vessel, let my voice be yours. Speak your mission through me, allow the listeners to open up and receive it the way you intended. No holds barred. Use me. I look at the news and I watch other people's nations form.
Today we have a special guest, a gentleman I know from my job, and again, part of Ubuntu Radio's purpose, our very mission is to bring to light basically people I know. People I know but don't know. You understand what I'm saying? You know them, but you don't really know them. So it's a conversation trying to get to know a little bit more, trying to inspire, trying to tell a story. Our lives are made whole, made better, made purposeful by stories. And I'm glad today to have a friend of mine, Mr. Maurizio. We call him Ronan Riz.
What's going on?
He's going to tell you a little bit more about what that means, but we're going to talk to him. First of all, he is a recent graduate of North Carolina State University.
Go Wolfpack.
And about to sit for the LSAT, so he's going to be a lawyer and a musician. So we hear you, the ubiquitous story of the kid in the hood who, I want to be a basketball player, I want to be a rapper. Well, now I have a college graduate who's sitting for his LSAT. That means he's going to be a lawyer sometime pretty soon if he wants to be, but he's also a rapper, musician, artist. Ronan Riz, tell the people a little bit about yourself by way of definition here.
Ronan Riz, it started because I've always been fascinated with Japanese culture, so shout out to all my Japanese.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, watashiwa desu yo, yoroshiku.
Diversify your mind.
Yeah. So it started because I had a strong connection to Japanese culture when I was young, and I studied it in school, high school, college. And the term Ronin comes from when Japan started as a warring state. It started with wars. It was controlled by warring clans, samurai. And samurai served masters, feudal lords, and stuff of that nature. And you become Ronin when a samurai doesn't fulfill his obligations to his master. His master dies, or he shames his master and he gets dismissed or something, or you know, his service just ends and he's masterless and he's looking for another master to serve. He becomes Ronin, so he's a wanderer. And I look at the societal structure that we live in to this day, and I felt that we were slaves and servants to it. Any kind of structure, technology, all that stuff, we're slaves to it. And I said that I'm basically a Ronin because I have no earthly master. God's my only master. And I can recognize these structures and I can choose what part I want to play in it. You know, a lot of people don't even know they're living in the structure, so they can't even really fully understand what role they need to play.
Give them a taste of what this Ronan singing creation is all about.
Well, yeah, I sing a little bit, rap a little bit, so let me see. I'll sing the hook from Goodbye and then I'll do a freestyle.
Goodbye, my friend. My mind begins to wonder about the things that we said. But you don't have to worry because this is the end. You left me in the courtyard, now it's goodbye, my friend. My mind begins to wonder.
Days are growing colder, gotta be a soldier. Nowadays problems get resolved with a holster. Snakes in the grass, better watch out for them cobras. A lot of people got the wrong perspective and they focus. I minimize my failure by maximizing my hard work. Anything will fail if you never put in the groundwork. Everything will fail if you never put in your God first. No conversation about business unless I talk to God first. Better recognize my bars like the kinfolk. A lot of people say they ballin', but they're in their gym clothes. The game be complicated now, but I keep it simple. Limitations that we have are only in our mantle. Ruminating radically upon revolution. Y'all constantly complaining but offering no solution. I'm just trying to make these bars be my contribution. Write my name in history, I'm rewriting the Constitution. Ronan.
Ooh yeah. that's the new Bill of Rights right there. That's the new Bill of Rights.
Gotta rewrite it, man.
I'm just gonna call you Daredevil. Ronan the Daredevil. You know this series, I just watched a series on Netflix. He's a lawyer by day. He's a blind lawyer by day. But he sees the truth of injustice at night and he corrects it. So are you, my friend, seeing the path for yourself? Is it gonna be lawyer by day, rapper by night, or what's the path
for you? Yeah, lawyer by day, fighting injustice in the courtroom, and then rapper artists, I like to say, artists at night, sending messages through my music. And it doesn't have to be just political messages or social justice messages, just messages that are real for me and my age group at this point in life, speaking on things that I'm going through, that I know people are going through. The last two projects that I've put out haven't really started tackling social justice issues. It's been really, the first project was really about going through relationships, and the second one was coming, like, dealing with that still. So,
what are the names of these projects and where can these people find them?
The first project is called Diaries of a Ronin, and the second project is called Wanderlust, and they're both available for free download on SoundCloud, and you can get to the SoundCloud by soundcloud.com/RoninRiz. That's RoninRiz. And the great thing about my name, it's one of a kind, so you find me on SoundCloud, and my Twitter is the same, at RoninRiz. Instagram's the same, RoninRiz. Facebook /RoninRiz. Gmail, RoninRiz@gmail.com.
Tell me what to do with me. Look inside, I keep wondering why the stars don't shine as bright in the middle of night. I keep thinking about the man that I've become. My mind grind over time, it's always on the run. Many decisions, I'm wishing to live my vision. I'm so confused, not used to battling my ambition. I got a master plan, it's down to execution. I try to stay the course to maximize my conclusion. On our way, I'm on the stars, we're blinded.
Across each platform, people know you as one entity.
One.
Again, part of this as well is a little education to kids, because I know a lot of people want to do this. They want to, and again, with you, you're not there, not out there in a big studio in New York. You're right here, Raleigh, North Carolina, doing this out of where? Out of
home studio is the best way to do it. Shout out my boy Black Jones and the whole ZF gang. They're family to me since we started with ABR. I was part of a group. And now I'm doing my solo thing. Shout out to AB the Best, my brother who I used to do music with. And we made our 106 and Park appearances
together. When was that?
That was like my sophomore year. We went to 106 and Park in 2012 and then also again in 2013.
So let's stop there. Because we say, sometimes we see the end result of the work.
Yeah.
We see, I mentioned earlier to you off air about a group I've just discovered. I don't know the brand of music, but I love it. I think it's Walk the Duck. They're out of Mississippi, out of the South. One of the reasons I got into Walk the Duck is when I understood the meaning behind just the name itself. And they're talking about how easy a duck looks when they're gliding on water. And nobody sees them struggling.
The legs.
Nobody sees the struggling, the legs moving. So you got to 106 and Park, and that in itself is a dream to a lot of people, but I don't want you to just say, well, I got to 106 and Park. You did it again. You did it twice.
Yeah.
So how in the world does that happen?
Long nights sacrificing, grinding, and crying in the parking lot.
Let's hear a snippet. They need to hear the reality of this.
I got to tell the story.
Please.
I started doing music in Jamaica, Queens, New York City when my mom decided to get me a violin because I love the sound of music. And I play
the movie or just the sound of music?
Both. That's actually my favorite movie. We just watched it for Christmas.
Okay.
I know
the sing along. The
sing along. Yeah, the sing along version. I have it on my stuff. I was singing along.
My mom made me watch that every time it came on ABC.
It's
some holidays it just always came on. She made me watch that.
That's why I consider myself an artist because I did musical theater all 4 years in high school, as well as everything else. And I love sound of music.
Okay.
So when I was young, played the violin, mom got it for me. Fast forward when I came down to Raleigh, played it in middle school, went to Carnegie Hall. That's where I met.
Okay. I played the violin in middle school and I went to Carnegie Hall. Yeah. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Well, my
work your ass off.
Yeah, we played all the time and then somebody picked us up in 8th grade and we played for Katrina Relief, the benefit concert. And my brother AB was also in I met him in middle school in sixth grade, and he was part of the band doing stuff, and I was the orchestra. You know what I'm saying? So we had different
Yo.
Exactly. Exactly.
Listen to Crips and the Blood, the orchestra versus the band.
Exactly.
You in the band. You ain't real. You ain't down.
And he's been playing the drums. My boy AB played every, can still play every instrument by ear. Okay. Played drums since he was two. So we linked up. And we started just doing music in freshman year of high school, we went to the same high school. Started doing music in his garage, called the Major Impact Records back in the day. And we would play around. We had friends. Jones T was our friend. He goes by Black Jones now, who's my producer for all these projects. He went to our high school as well. A couple other people that were in the ZFG camp, we called it ZFG, Zord Fleet Gang, just weird name. Okay. And we just play around in the studio, make music and stuff. But me, AB, and I, we did it so much consistently that we just like, why not be a group? So we started just doing projects, and his dad is a super OG, super known in Raleigh, everywhere because of his fame on the streets. And because when Raleigh started being like drugs and gangs and stuff, he was right there in the streets back when in his younger life, and he was famous in that way. And he came around and he kind of heard us the first time. He was like, check it out. And he wouldn't take us seriously. He was like, oh, y'all just doing some stuff. And then we just kept working at it. We had fun. We were just having fun. Kept working at it until about sophomore year in high school. And he came back around and he was like, yo, y'all really good. I'm going to start managing y'all. And because he knew so many people, he just started getting us to so many shows. And then out of nowhere, one show led to another show. We won this show. We won another show. When we were doing this in high school, we were going all over the place winning like talent shows.
How far and wide are you stretching? Because you're based in Raleigh right now.
We started in Raleigh, then we'd go out to Durham, we'd go out to Fayetteville.
Still local.
Okay. We were young, man, and then out of nowhere, people just start calling us. We put out videos, and people just start knowing us. Our school would support us. We'd do every talent show, everything. Oh yeah, there's a group called Troop 41. They did the John Wall song. They were famous for it out here in North Carolina, and they were actually good friends of ours. Came from the same middle school. So we hung around them, kind of got exposure like that. And then we started opening up for some names. I think like senior year in high school, we opened up for this when the Stanky Lad came out. And we opened up for these guys at Shaw University. It was like this, we opened up our first legitimate celebrities we opened up for.
How big was the crowd?
It was huge. It was like maybe 1,000 people.
Okay.
And that same year, we won this thing sponsored by the Light Radio Station. We opened up for Ernest Pugh. Ernest P-U-G-H. He's okay. A big gospel name.
Okay.
I don't know him, but he's big. He's big enough to pack Festival Park down in Fayetteville. I think that was like 2,000 plus people. We performed. We opened up for him. And then everyone just got eyes on us and started taking us seriously. Freshman year, I saw, do you want to perform at 106 in Park? I'm like, yeah, right. Okay. Because you see a billion of these scams.
Is it a radio or like an internet ad? Or?
It was an internet ad. It's called like Blaze the Stage or something like that. Like you go through it, and I was like, if you win this, then you get to audition for 106 or something like that. But you have to pay $100 or something. It's one of those things.
Okay.
And it was funny because a week before, I got scammed out of $100 doing something like that. And I was sitting down in the Learning Commons at NC State on one of the library computers like, do I really want to do this? Because I was so hurt because I lost so much money. And I was like, God, whatever. I'm just going to go for it. Put it in. They're like, yeah, you got... That $100 buys you 5 minutes. Now you have to get to New York somehow to audition for 5 minutes in front of one of the BET producers. So I start saving my money up. I'm telling AB about this. We set the date in our phones and everything like that. Say later on that year, fly us to 106 in Park. Fly us to New York.
So wait a second. So you apply with the $100,
mm-hmm.
But they have to...
I started to pay my plane passes and everything.
That's what I'm saying. When you say they fly us, not BET.
No.
Your manager's flying us.
Yeah, our manager's help. But I paid a lot of it too because we didn't have a lot of people putting money behind us still. And I didn't even tell you guys the years before of just doing what we call the little chitlin circuits of little clubs, holding the wall clubs, and getting people, taking all of our people coming to watch us. And
you were doing it for free?
We do it for free. I remember one show that we had that we invited like Troop 41, and they were famous at this time, and they were friends, so they came through, and we like invited them. We're like, yeah, it's gonna be a great show, and they got on first, and people came to watch them, so it was a packed crowd. And then when they left, the crowd left, and I ended up crying in a parking lot because I was like, this is so hurtful. But yeah, fast forward to that. So we fly to New York. We got to the building. It was like a broom closet looking thing. I was like, this is a scam. This is a scam. Walk in. This guy named Pat Charles worked for BET for 12 years. One of the big producers. Sitting in there with another guy. And he's straightest face I've ever seen. He's like, you got your music? Let's go. Start. Start playing our music. We start performing. These guys have the straightest face I've ever seen in my life. Discouraging. We're over here like, these guys do not like us at all. And in that moment, I looked at my brother. I was like, yo, let's just turn it up. Because we came so far, been through so much stuff right now. Let's just go have fun right now. So we started just performing our hearts out, just going hard. And then at the end of it, the song's over, we're sweating, panting. The guy was like, that song's a hit. Straight face. He's like, you got it. I was like, what you mean you got it? He's like, we'll give you a call, we'll set it up. Y'all be performing on Wild Out Wednesday. I was like, are you serious? Wild Out Wednesday is a BET competition and you go head to head against some other people. So we end up missing our flight. We had to sleep in an airport. Mm. I know people used to say that sounds cool, or grinding so hard we even sleep in airports. I want you to know that's probably one of the most depressing things to ever do, sleep in the airport. I mean, they turn all the lights off, there's about like a Dunkin' Donuts open, that's the only thing that's open. We're taking turns sleeping in JFK, like, because we don't want no one to steal our stuff, be robbed or anything. We're so tired and exhausted. I come back, I have class. I was doing like work on the airplane, took my luggage into class, was falling asleep on the front row. So depressed, but we came back with good news, and then we were scheduled to do the show the next year. And
so it took a year?
Took a year before the show started. And then we got on there the first time, and that was during school and everything. That whole weekend was crazy. Like,
so you come back to NC State after doing 106 Apart. Who's the host of that time, 106 Apart?
That, at that time, that's when they were between hosts, and they had four people doing it all together. They had four people doing the hosting all together. I was so tired because that weekend before, we had a show at State Friday. Mm-hmm. And it was called Dance Marathon. So Dance Marathon is like day-long events going on overnight. We were scheduled at 4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, to perform. So we performed 4 o'clock in the morning Saturday. On Saturday morning, that same morning, at like 8 o'clock, we had a video shoot for the song leading that we're going to perform on 106. After that video shoot lasted till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock into like Sunday morning. After that was over, I came back packed and got my affairs together and left on the road late Sunday night, Monday morning, mm-hmm. to drive up to 106 and Park. And we were exhausted.
What was the reaction when you got back to school?
Man, first of all, when we won, I didn't believe the moment. My grandmother, and who was my biggest fan, and that's my buddy, I love her to death. She's fighting her own battles, saw me, and she called me. I was crying, I was emotional, because it's like all that work, man. And he's just like, he's just for one little moment. We got back to school, the support was crazy, because AB at the time was going to Central. And we've been promoting on the radio, we've been on set at Central, promoting Hard with Flyers at State. Everyone, shout out to NC State and Central, North Carolina Central, because they, to this day, still support us and our music. We got back, and I couldn't go to class the day I came back. People who tuned in to see the show, I knew that it would have been like a disruption for me going in the day I came back, because people wanted to talk during class and stuff, so I kind of like waited the day. And I wanted to rest too, but I waited the day, and then the next day I kind of like snuck in class, and everybody, like teachers, because the teachers had known what I was going for, so they gave me some time, and the teachers had watched, and they came in, they stopped class, and they were like, did the exact same thing I was trying to avoid. I was trying to come back in low key. And then the atmosphere in Raleigh changed after that first win. Everyone started being supportive, and until the second time, and then we lost. And then, make a nigga just wanna get steamrolled. Everybody say steamrolled. So the way Wild Out Wednesday works is, and we didn't know this, we only showed up twice. All the other artists had to go back up there consistently because it was like competition and battling shows. our vote count the first time we went was so high that it automatically pushed us to the finals. We had the second most votes out of everybody they had ever, like Wild Out Wednesday. We became all-stars. Wild Out Wednesday all-stars. So the second show you brought us back was for the all-star finale round. Because we had already won the
record. We're talking the podcast. This is all audio, but where can people see?
So if you go to BET.com and type in ABR, just type in those three letters, we'll pop up on the second time we went to 106.
And where can they see the video that you mentioned, the video that you were shooting?
Leaning. If you go to YouTube and type in ABR and Leaning, that's L-E-A-N-I-N. Just Leaning without the G on the end. Leaning, ABR, it's on YouTube and it will pop up and you go check that video out. So shout out to my group. We're taking a break right now, hiatus from each other. But I have to continue making music for my sanity. We make music together. It's just that my focus is more music right now and creating that. And his focus is elsewhere right now.
What's the song that he's on?
It's called The Truth. And it's on the new EP called Wanderlust. It's the fourth song. I actually just sing the hook. And he and Black Jones in the verses. Girl, that thing the truth. Thinking what I'ma do. Can't help but feel on you. I'm into you. And that ain't nothing new. This shit been over with you. A thing or two. We swerve off in that coupe. Let's smoke a blunt or two. It's only right. It's what I gotta do. Now tell me what's the move. That thing you putting on me is the truth.
Again, reminding people here. It's Mauricio Rodan Ritz. He is an NC State graduate. Singer, rapper, artist, artiste,
yes,
artiste, but also educated man about to take the LSAT. He's gonna be the new Daredevil. You know that Daredevil series that ain't come out? He's gonna be a Daredevil 3. Lawyer by day, artist by night. What does mom sing about all these escapades? First of all, my high school son is going all over the place.
Yeah.
Night on the weekend. Yeah. What is mom saying?
Mom was upset. During high school, it was many fights. I would come home late at night. Actually, that was so hurtful. My mom was really upset because she didn't think I was taking school seriously. But my grades never slipped. I always had straight A's. And like I said, I was part of everything. I'm not lying. I'm not bragging on myself. Just say how busy I was. I was part of the band. I was an honorary part of the band. I ran.
What instrument?
No instrument at all. The guy just wanted me because he knew I did music, and AB was in the band at Southeast, and I just came on as like an extra drum major to help out. Did 4 years of theater, did like plays all throughout high school, ran track all throughout high school, even played football my freshman year. I was part of several different clubs. We started a club called Gentlemen United, which required its members to dress up like business professional 3 days out of the week. And just everything I could get my hands on. I was in AP classes, so she couldn't say anything on the grade end because right. I didn't give her a reason to, because I knew the minute she saw me slipping on my education, she would shut everything down. Right. All she could do at this point was kind of fuss at me, like, you're always out late, you never spend time with your family, and she kind of guilted me. I felt really guilty because I missed a lot of time. My family was going through hard stuff, you know, it was just a lot of hardship, but I kept on getting called to this music, and I couldn't run from it, man. So, and she had a hard time. We'd get snuck into clubs. I hope I don't get anybody in trouble, but when I was like 14, 15, they had to sneak us in the back doors of clubs because we weren't old enough. And for having your son in clubs when he's like 14, 15, I'm exposed to all these crazy things in all these dangerous clubs.
What's the craziest thing that happened?
So AB's dad was our manager, and to this day, he's still somebody I call for advice. And if I have a show, I ask him to come with me. He's still like another dad to me. Well, like I said, his street presence was so strong that it allowed us. That's why I try to tell
people. He was a pharmaceutical engineer?
he was more of a enforcer. He didn't get.
He was a neighborhood police officer?
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
He protected his territory?
So he was so known in the streets that, and still so known in the streets that, we had freedom of moving in any kind of hood without being touched. And I never forget this one time we were in this club. This guy had a song before us, before we went on, called Murder, Death, Homicide. Have you listened to it?
Was it a love tune?
It was not a love tune. He was just Murder, Death, Homicide. I never forget it. And I was just like, this is crazy. And we had to go to all different clubs. I mean, I was in strip clubs when I was 14, 15.
What did I miss growing up?
But it wasn't interesting to me because I was so used to being in that setting all the time. It became normal. And I was just so focused on getting people to hear my music. I know it sounds weird. I wasn't interested in what was going on around me. Naked women all over the place. I was just like so focused. And one time we got to Fayetteville. This is the craziest thing that happened. We got down there to open up. I think we had to open up for Roscoe Dash, Juvenile, and Mystical. And so that whole weekend, and we had to like do a show at the club for the cast of Love and Hip Hop. This was during my college years.
Okay.
But still, we're always so young. I'm only 22, so I'm still always young, the youngest in these settings. So we got there, I'm a little like looking around, and I'm like 17, 18 at this time. I think it was freshman year, so I was young. And this spot looks, I mean, I'm used to being around the hood and stuff, but this spot is crazy. Like, I'm like, I don't even want to step foot in this. I look like I'm gonna die. Like, so we got in there. It's like a mini strip joint too. So there's strippers and stuff. We got on the stage and like, this is the first, and somebody in the, from the club was like, I'm so glad you guys are here. This is the first time since the club's been open back up that they're allowing artists to perform again. I'm like, well, what happened to make it close down? What happened last time? They're like, well, somebody got shot on stage while they were performing.
Go on up, have a good time.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to perform here. If they don't like my music, I might get shot right now. It's that serious. But nah, man, it was a good experience. The people were so loving, so friendly. And that's the surprising thing, is the people that you don't think would rock with your music, the hardened looking thugs. That's another lesson I learned in the South. Always talk to people, always be yourself. Because as long as you try to be yourself, and that's the only person you try to be, everyone will respect you. I don't care if you're the most gangbanging, ruthless person out there. I've talked to them all on a personal tip. I can go to the South Side right now in bright yellow pants, and nobody would touch me because they know that, oh, that's Rizzio. Oh, he called a college boy. Oh, he graduated, but he does this music thing. Oh, his pops is this and this dude. He can get down in the street if he needs to, but that's not his life. Where the problem occurs, when people get shot and killed and you hear all these violence happen, is because when people try to be something that they're not. And that's what's been going on. When you try to be something that you're not around people who are those things, that's when they get a problem. I'm not telling you to walk around the hood at 3 o'clock in the morning and think that nothing's going to happen to you because you're not from there and people will look at you as a target. But if you can go, I hate when people are afraid to even go out there and speak to people because they think that something's going to happen to them. These people are people. And to me, on the South Side, a lot of those people helped raise me in this mindset because they took the time to pull me aside. And if they ever saw me out there doing something that they know that wasn't my life, I'm like, man, what you doing out here? Go home. Leave. Like, go back to school. You do this, right? Don't hang out on this side, Riz. It's about to get crazy. Leave. This is not your life. This is our life. But I can go there because they know who I am. I can go hang out in any trap, any hood on the South Side because they know I grew up around this area and I made a different choice. Mind gone, I'm in my zone, but out my body like an out of body experience. I'm feeling this. I look internal at me. What God want me to see and be, it's me. I'm living in the world and of the world. I'm trying to live above control. Out the system, living my vision. Mind sharp, cut with precision. No indecision, just mysticism. It's mysticism. Flying under airways. Spaced out in space. Higher consciousness. Harness it, begin to target them. I've always been guided by something. And I've seen it work in my life that I cannot deny it anymore, that God is real. Because I can go into it. My 9-year-old brother, his cancer is in remission. He has another disease right now that he got when he was born. Like, you know, so we're dealing with that family. Like I said, I was talking about family situations. I almost dropped out of school freshman, sophomore year because of
high school?
College. All of the, that's what I'm trying to say. It was hard. All the music has had its, you know, It's consequences. I wasn't able to do my work like I need to. I was also focused on my family situation at home. My mom was going through a rough pregnancy with my second little brother while dealing with the cancer of my first little brother. And my mental wasn't there, right? And I was falling down and the higher power guided me, you know. And I said all that to say that when you were guided by something like that, that you know it's real, of course it's going to be haters. I'm not worried about it because I'm untouchable. I'm untouchable because I'm so focused, man. I'm so focused. When you are so focused in this universe on something and all your will desires to be successful. Oh, my boy opened up a fortune cookie the other day. It said, it doesn't take a little something to be successful. It takes everything. It doesn't take something to be successful. It takes everything. You, when you put your all and you're just, I just want to be successful. I just want to make a difference with my art and what I'm doing, every path that I'm doing, the universe will then bend to you. So haters, I've seen haters become, from haters to becoming friends with me. Right. And be like, when I first met you, I didn't like you, dude. And I was like, that's funny, because I wasn't even aware of you. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that be harsh, but I really wasn't. I was so focused. And yeah, sometimes it'll bother you. I'm human. I see the things, I might respond sometimes to it. But, you know, it's always better if you rise above it and stay focused, because that stuff is to knock you off your path, man.
It obviously starts with intelligence. You're obviously an intelligent human being, but intelligence that was nurtured, what, probably by a mother who took no crap, just like mine did, with your commitment to education.
Superwoman.
And then an innate intelligence, an innate understanding of how things work, but putting in the work in school. You don't get A-Bs by just... Yeah. Being lackadaisical. So you obviously put in the work. So I agree that the universe bends to your will.
Yeah.
But you start that bending. The universe is too big, too strong to bend to anybody's will. And what I like to think is that once you start reaching out to the universe kind of just reaches back out to you. It's like, you're trying your best.
I see.
You're trying.
Exactly.
If the universe is everything.
Everything.
Once it finds somebody like yourself or me who kind of gets it, who kind of gets, all right, this is how it works. You got to put in the work. Universe goes, okay, you get it. Here's a little something.
Here it is.
Here's a little something for you. I'm not going to show you everything yet because you still got places to go.
Exactly.
So, but there are people who hear that and go, man, I want it. It's like that first episode of American Idol. Simon, I just want it so bad. But you can't sing.
What are you willing to do for it?
You're not... But I think you should do, but I want to be, but I think you should come back and you're not listening to me. You should work for the next year on your craft and come back. But I really want it. No, but it's not the right time. It's not now. You got to work. So what I hear is that commitment to the work.
Sweat.
And you don't get burnt out at 17, 18 as a freshman in high school unless you're doing the freaking work. So you got to put in the work. Anybody out there, I want to be a rapper, I want to be whatever it is, you got to put in the work. It amazes me. It took me a while to realize it takes 10, 15 years to be an overnight success.
Say it again.
I want to go back to something else too. Right now is the part of the podcast where we're preaching to young people. But the other thing that you mentioned that I want to reiterate is if you want your folks to get off your back, get straight A's.
Period.
Like Ronan said, they won't bother you because they don't have a reason. It's like your mom is angry at you, and then she just thinks, well, I can't be too angry because he's bringing in straight A's and nobody's saying anything bad about it. It might be coming in late, but he's still giving up and getting the work done.
It was the easiest logic to figure out.
Right.
My mama wanted one thing, me to graduate from college. She told me that when I was in elementary school. My mother used to be a teacher in Guyana. Mm-hmm. So it's all of her kids, my brother that just turned 3 is reading right now. And could count to how, I don't know, however, because she would make it her duty every single day to teach you a little something at the house. So by the time you're ready for school, it was just whatever. We were used to doing this. She's Superwoman. I got to give her all the credit. It does start in the house. My mama beat discipline into me, not physically, but I always learned by watching.
Mm-hmm.
My mother came to the United States without knowing anybody. She worked 7 days a week as an in-home nurse. For hospice, meaning when I was in elementary school, I was taking myself to school in third grade. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom would cook different meals and leave them in the refrigerator and heat it up and then come back to check on me like Sunday afternoon to make sure I'm alive. Not because she didn't care, but because she had to work to pay for that little hole in the wall apartment. And I saw that, and when we came to North Carolina, I was like, well, whatever you want to do, you have to discipline yourself. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. You just got to put in that work. People always kill me, be like, oh my God, God, they love to use God. God, please send me this. Why are you not doing this? Clearly says faith without works is dead.
True.
If the universe will not, like you said earlier, the universe will not bend to you because you did not give the universe a reason to. It'll just look at you like, what are you doing? Now, if it shows that you are passionate about it and then you work towards it, then it will happen. It's funny that you brought up American Idol. We tried out for X Factor. I remember we didn't make it because they said, tell us your story. You have the talent, but what's your story? I was like, I don't want my story to be what you guys focus on, because they want to sell views. They want to be like, oh, this guy. I could be like, my brother has neuroblastoma cancer, is dying. He's only like 2-3 at this time. I can tell all the stories, but everybody is going through something. And I hate to say this like this, and it sounds insensitive, but if you knew my people, my family, my grandmother has cancer as well. She's fighting it right now. If you knew my family, when I say this, understand. Everybody's going through something, but when you get to the stage of everybody's going through something, so what? So what? I'm blah, 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 blah. So what? I'm tired. So what? Everybody, and you're so caught up in what's going on with you, you're not even aware of the battles that somebody else is fighting. They might spaz on you at work, but you don't know that person who probably just came from, you know, seeing their dying uncle in a hospital. And this is just for your immediate circle. Think about everybody around the world that don't have the resources that you have. When you think bigger than yourself and really understand how big the universe is, then you really don't have no excuse. Like, yes, I'm tired because I did all those things. I'd stay up to like 4 o'clock in the morning at State, like coming home from a show at State, take a shower, get ready to go to my 8:05, and try my best to take notes. I might fall asleep, but I'm gonna try my best. And somehow it worked out because the universe saw me try my best. And yeah, I almost dropped out of school for sophomore year, but I graduated because I kept on pounding at it. I tried my best. And that's all my mom ever asked for me. She never said, be a straight A student. She never said it. She said, do your best. I know you can. And whatever happens, if I get out of C, my mom is my best friend. I can call her today when I was in high school and college and be like, I got a C+. I don't know what is going on because my grades in college was bad, but I graduated. She was like, did you do your best? I'm like, I didn't. Man, I studied. That's it. You did your best. Don't worry about it. And in that way, my mom was all supportive. She was strict in saying, do your books and your studies. But she wasn't that type of parent that was like, oh, you didn't get an A+. You're a failure. You know what I'm saying? Like, she wasn't that. She was always, she's always about trying. One thing that she hated to see that she's trying to nurture into my brothers now is giving up, trying a little bit, and then being like, I can't do it, somebody help me. No, you try, fail, get back up, try again, dust yourself off, you're bleeding, patch yourself up, try again. And in the end, after all that trying, if you fail, then you really didn't fail, because I know you learned something from that.
1, 2, 3, shout it, keep working, gotta get the bills paid. Focus on what you want, you can have anything. Shawty got the beard back there, about to get your wishing paid. With a future like that, gotta make sure we educate. Bring the drums in.
Exercise now.
We gon' sweat out your weed.
Get it, Shawty.
There's never a wasted interaction in life. Just try. Whatever you do, think about doing, if you want to start a cupcake brownie shop, don't just talk about it. Look into the steps that you need to take to
research,
do that.
Research
it, start saving money, start talking to people, because there's people out there who've done it before. And that's another thing, you're not in the world by yourself. You're not the first person. I mean, of course, like, there's like inventors and stuff, but you're not the first person going through what you're going through. Find somebody, and they might not go through exactly what you're going through, but they'll put you on some kind of insight that will help you on your path, man. And one of the things
it's tough to find if I'm deep in the hole. It's tough to find if I am so deep in the mire of this frustration, this negativity, this seemingly endless windfall of pain and angst and adolescence, whatever, that I don't see an end to it. And with you, what I'm hearing is there were always people around me who seemingly had my, I'm working, make it happen. But there were people around me who had my interests at heart enough to say, okay, look, shit's about to pop off. You don't need to be here. Or you need to do your best. Or you don't play an instrument, but you need to be around us because I see something else in you, or whatever it is. So was there ever a time you seemed like a very positive person, a very self-motivated, self-directed person, but perhaps there's a time when you were a freshman or a sophomore and you wanted to drop out? Speak about
the hardships,
not the hardships, but the overcoming and what specifically you did, because I think part of success is, like you said, being mindful of the things you do. It's not going to happen by accident. You put yourself in a position to get on 106 in Park once, twice. You put yourself in a position to go to a strip club and perform. You put yourself in the places where these opportunities open up and the universe bend to your activity, not to your will, but to your activity. I think will is something far deeper than we can control every day. Yeah. The universe bends to activity. The universe goes, you know, like, there's some heat coming from that area. And then God or whoever she is goes, let me take a peek. And that's how the bending happens. When she starts taking a peek, you know what? I'm going to keep my eye on that little guy. I'm going to keep my eye on it. Keep your mind on what you do.
Pay attention now. Don't watch me, watch the duck. My close friends know that my problem that I've started with, struggling with since I was young, I think it's something that's in, like, genetic in me. But I have severe ADHD for one, and two, I have severe anger problems. And nobody would believe that if I tell you.
What were you doing that said, I'm angry?
Like, oh man, I punched a hole in the wall, I broke up my living room one time, I fought my stepdad. I was getting into trouble so much on the school bus, they kicked me off the school bus for weeks. I would get referrals in school.
This is how old?
This was middle school. Middle school years was terrible. Middle school years was terrible. I was getting in so much trouble. But again, what saved me is my grades were so good. I had administrators call me this. I'm like, Riz, what's going on,
They
man?
Try to help you because they try to figure out, why is this smart guy doing this? If you're an idiot doing that, they're suspending you.
Exactly.
They're putting you out. They're getting you out of the district. But if you're an intelligent human being,
again,
you want to get away with anything.
You really can. Get your grades right.
I promise you.
That's it. You can do anything you want. I had such a high GPA. I went to Ligon, so they had teams. I was on the...
my son went to Ligon.
Yeah, I went to the academically gifted teams. But I would always hang with the people that were gifted and talented. That were the academically gifted. So I was on the other team.
Okay.
And I hate to say it, but Ligon was separated. It looked like it was black and white. Like, the black people on the gifted and talented team, the white people on the academically gifted team. And there was a few black people on the academically gifted team, but not a lot. And me and my boy Spencer, all of our friends were on, like, the other teams, you know? So we would just act out, act crazy, and we'd get in a lot of trouble in those classes, and we get kicked out and all that stuff. And I was dealing with that stuff, and coming into high school was no different. I still was battling that. I was battling finding my place in the world. You know, everything that you're going through as a young teenager and all that stuff, I went through all of it. I think probably worse than everybody else because I was dealing with so much. For me to rationalize one side of music and rationalize what's going on with my body and my mind and the changing and everything like that, I was always angry, lashing out. But my mom was a praying mom. She always prayed. And it goes back to just finding something that you're passionate about. I don't know how else to say it. Like, the only thing that saved me from everything else was because I knew if I got suspended this week in high school, I would not be able to do that school play on Saturday. If I got into a fight at school, I wouldn't be able to run in that track meet. And I was captain junior year and senior year, and I'd be letting my team down. So those things would always keep, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll have those impulses too to do things. I'm not perfect. I wanted to punch people in the mouth. I do cage fighting right now on the side as a hobby. You know, just when I do
that. Stay away from that Irish guy. He looks like,
you know, yeah, Conor McGregor is crazy.
Stay away from that guy.
But no, but you know, I'm not perfect. And to speak on what you talked about, in terms of I have people to support me, and I always hear people like, well, I don't have these people to support me like you do. Put yourself in a position. That's still in your control to me. That is totally into your control. Cause I don't care if you're in Nova Scotia or someplace isolated, there's people around you at all times. Problem occurs when you don't reach out and talk to people. And when you talk to people, you find out who's who. And then when you do find those out, you didn't have another choice as to who you surround yourself with. I talked to everybody in high school. I had friends who are jocks, the nerdy, crazy kids, and the techies were more the weirder people, quote unquote, weirder people. No one really like talked to them. They were the ones who operated our lights, did our makeup and all that stuff. The actors were more the popular kids in the school and stuff. The techies and the actors did not like each other. And so when the techies did not like working on the makeup and stuff for the actors, cause you know, it's kind of like whatever, whatever. I was able to get favors from these people because I was so cool with them that I had a specific person who wanted to do my makeup every time, and she did it perfectly. When I needed to use the theater for something, one day I called one of the techies, like, can I get in the theater? I just want to sit there. Sit on the stage. I want to just sit there and think through my lunch period. Got in, got cool with my teachers and all that stuff. Because I talked to them, man. There's people. They might look scary, and there's nasty people out there. Then you talk to them, you figure out they're nasty, and you figure out you need to stay away from them. But I talk to people I find who have similar interests as me, similar goals, and that's where we made that camp, ZFG, is because we've been friends for, we became friends like freshman year in high school, and for me, it'd be sixth grade, and we stuck together, and we didn't let people into our circle. Keep your circle small and tight, and build. I'd rather have 10 amazing people around me than 100,000 people who wouldn't care two rats ass about, or don't have the same kind of vision that I have. And it sounds cliquish. I know people are like, it's a clique, but
it's a family.
It's a family. I have family. And when you don't let in a lot of craziness, you don't have drama. We have no drama. It's free, it's easy, because we have similar visions, similar goals. And you can have that too by going out and speaking to people. Everybody can have that. That's the one thing we have as human beings, human interaction. Like,
so that was part one of my interview with singer, actor, musician, artist, and soon-to-be lawyer, Mr. Ronan Riz. Please join Ubuntu Radio for part two of my interview with Mr. Riz, where he discussed what pushed him into the law and what he plans to do in that field for the expression of himself and for the people he wishes to represent. Come join us back, please. Ubuntu Radio. Nights can remember more than sober ones. Walk like warriors, we were never told to run. Explore the world to return to where my soul begun. Never looking back or too far in front of me. The present is a gift, and I just want to be.